Good morning. This is TCT Daily Report for Friday, April 3rd, 2026. I'm reading from Boston. In Commerce and Capital this morning, a report that ought to trouble every American who assumes the arsenal of democracy can replenish itself at will. The United States possesses roughly 8 weeks of rare earth supplies available for military use. According to a report published by the South China Morning Post, citing anonymous sources familiar with the matter. 8 weeks, that is. The margin between sustained American combat operations and a production line that goes dark. The disclosure, subsequently amplified by Foreign Policy, Mining.com, and other outlets, illuminates a vulnerability that policymakers have acknowledged for years and never corrected. The near total dependence of the American defense industrial base on the People's Republic of China for the processed minerals that make precision warfare possible. Every Tomahawk cruise missile, every JDAM guidance kit, every interceptor fired from a destroyer at sea contains rare earth permanent magnets. Neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, terbium, without which the guidance and propulsion systems that define American military superiority simply do not function. The first 36 hours of the campaign against Iran consumed more than 3,000 such munitions, according to an analysis by the Payne Institute at the Colorado School of Mines, published in Foreign Policy. China controls roughly 60% of global rare earth mining and more than 90% of the refining capacity that converts raw ore into usable metals. Beijing imposed export controls on heavy rare earth elements in April of last year, then expanded those controls in October with extraterritorial licensing requirements covering any product containing even trace amounts of Chinese origin material. The South China Morning Post reports that Washington's depleted inventory will dominate any forthcoming meeting between President Trump and President Xi, a negotiation in which Beijing, by all available evidence, holds the stronger hand. This is not a future crisis, it is the present condition of the Republic's capacity to fight. Turning now to the world of arts and letters, the publisher of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, a franchise that has sold more than 500 million copies worldwide, filed suit on March the 17th in the United States District Court for the Northern District of California against 8 of the most powerful technology companies on Earth. The defendants are Apple, Google, Meta Platforms, OpenAI, Anthropic, Nvidia, Perplexity AI, and Elon Musk's XAI. The complaint, first reported by Reuters, advances what Publishers Weekly calls a novel claim, that the entire architecture of modern large language model development traces its origins to a single act of piracy, the alleged downloading of copyrighted books from Library Genesis, a shadow library repeatedly enjoined by federal courts by an OpenAI employee in 2018. Those files, the suit alleges, were used to build internal datasets that trained GPT-3, the model that established OpenAI's commercial dominance. According to the complaint, what followed was an industry-wide cascade. Within weeks of GPT-3's release, the open-source collective Eleuther AI assembled roughly 200,000 pirated books into a publicly distributed dataset called The Pile, which the remaining defendants allegedly adopted as foundational training material. The publisher's attorney, Kyle Roche, stated the message plainly: companies cannot build billion-dollar technologies on stolen creative expression. Whether the courts agree will shape the legal foundation of artificial intelligence for a generation. Turning now to the affairs of the Republic, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has unilaterally struck the names of at least 6 officers from the military promotion lists for 1-star general, 4 Army officers, 2 black men and 2 women, and 2 additional colonels from another service branch, 1 black and 1 female. The facts were first reported by the New York Times on March the 27th, and independently confirmed by NPR. Army Secretary Daniel Driscoll reportedly refused the removals for months, citing decades of exemplary service. Hegseth struck the names himself. The pretexts offered do not survive scrutiny.
One black armor officer and combat veteran was targeted because he wrote an academic paper more than a decade ago analyzing why African-American soldiers historically gravitated towards support rather than combat roles. Another officer was removed because she served during the Afghanistan withdrawal, an operation her peers believe she executed competently, under conditions whose catastrophic origins lay in decisions made far above her rank. Pentagon spokesperson Sean Parnell dismissed the reporting as fake news. But what is at stake here is not a press dispute. It is the principle that advancement in the American military is earned by performance and nothing else. That principle is the structural foundation upon which the all-volunteer force has sustained its lethal professionalism for 7 decades. If officers learn that scholarship or demographic identity can override a career of service, the institution does not become more meritocratic. It becomes less trustworthy. And a military that cannot be trusted by its own officers cannot be trusted with the defense of the nation. From the Agora now, 2 stories that belong together because they describe the same republic in the same season of failure. First, the Department of Homeland Security has been unfunded for 44 days, longer than any government shutdown in American history, and every member of Congress who might end it has left Washington for a 2-week Easter recess. The record was set on March the 29th, according to NBC News. 260,000 federal employees across 23 components, from the Coast Guard and FEMA to the Secret Service and TSA, are working without pay or operating under severe constraint. The dispute centers on immigration and customs enforcement. Democrats demand judicial warrants, visible identification for agents, and prohibitions on raids near schools, churches, and hospitals. Demands that intensified after 2 American citizens were fatally shot by federal officers in Minneapolis earlier this year. Republicans call those conditions unworkable and accuse Democrats of seeking an issue rather than a solution. A funding bill passed the Senate by voice vote in the early hours of March the 27th, only to die in the House. Congress then adjourned. And second, on Saturday, March the 28th, more than 8 million Americans gathered at upward of 3,300 events across all 50 states in what organizers declared the largest single-day nonviolent protest in modern American history. The Associated Press, NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, Reuters, and dozens of regional outlets confirmed crowds of extraordinary scale from Manhattan to rural Idaho. The flagship rally in St. Paul, Minnesota, drew an estimated 200,000 people. Minnesota was chosen because the Twin Cities remain a flashpoint following the January killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, 2 American citizens shot dead by federal agents during Operation Metro Surge. Bruce Springsteen performed the protest song he wrote in their memory. Whether one stands with the marchers or against them, the fact of 8 million citizens in the public square is a verdict that no government can afford to ignore. That is TCT Daily Report for Friday, April 3rd, 2026. The Commonwealth Times. Pro Republica, edificamus.